And welcome to episode 356 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first time here, let me tell you what this show is like. It's a lot like dark chocolate. Let me explain. You know, no one really likes it or wants it.
False. Right off the bat.
But
this intro is already full of shit. Everyone loves dark chocolate.
That's true. I like dark chocolate. Fuck. The look of disappointment. Doug, that's not how you start a show.
If this is your first time here, let me explain to you what this show is like. It's like putting together an intro only to have it train wrecked every week.
Every week? We let you get away with a lot of shit, but I'm not going to let you shit talk dark chocolate, bruh.
It's a lot like dark chocolate. No one really likes it or wants it, but it's still good for you. I'm Jeremy, and with me today are two men who once used dark chocolate as barbecue sauce.
I mean, I would not try it, but that seems a little...
Are you putting it in a barbecue sauce? Like making a dark chocolate barbecue based sauce?
No, it's just dark chocolate as barbecue sauce. You put that on your chicken wings and then you throw it in the oven and done. Or on the grill, yeah, either
done
one.
Done is right.
That's what you guys did.
Nah, son. I ain't making no weird chicken or chocolate covered chicken wings. That's where I gotta tap out, my friend. Kevin,
I'm not on team dark chocolate. I can say that. Obviously, Doug is.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not good.
On chicken wings?
On anything?
No, just dark chocolate in general. It's okay. The best.
Yeah,
it's
normal chocolate.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. I say normal chocolate. Dark chocolate is normal chocolate, and you make it not dark by adding other shit to
milk.
It, like and milk caramel. And sugar and cream. So get out of here with your sugar bullshit. We've pretty much established that I don't really like chocolate, like chocolatey things. Like, I feel like we've gone over this. Like, when it comes to candies, I prefer like tart candies.
Uh huh.
So it just makes sense. This just falls in line. This is exactly the sort of thing. Of course, I like dark chocolate more than normal chocolate.
I'm a milk chocolate boy. I just like that milk chocolate. I don't like the dark chocolate.
Like a little baby. I'm just kidding. Like a baby. You like your little milky chocolate.
Can you go ahead and hit the show end button?
Yeah, here we go.
Thank you.
Sorry. We've been talking about The Division. I just want to get in and start shooting people. It's nothing personal. It's just 100% like aggression that I have to take out on some NPCs in a video game.
And animals, asshole.
Don't blame me. It's been 100% Jerry.
you've tried. I've just gotten the shot off first. That's all.
You just happen to get the more lethal shot.
Yeah, that's all. And I spot
the more lethal shot.
I spot him real well. I'm like, oh, look at that.
I did herd that one dog right to you. Mm. Uh-huh. I was like, dog on your left, here it comes.
I guess we should explain that these are fake dogs in a video game. And it's no real good way to explain that one off. It's just they put him in the game, so we shoot him just like anyone else in the game.
Yeah, and to be fair, in this game they've also added deers and cats and raccoons and birds and other animals that are totally up for killing.
Yeah, it's a regular fucking Cabela's game.
By the way, I kill
the majestic goose came in with 4 months prime, by the way.
I also kill like every animal in Red Dead Redemption, but I don't hear you bitching and moaning about that, Kev.
Because it's way classier in Red Dead Redemption.
No, it's not. It sits there and shows
walks up, he skins the body.
You don't have to, though.
Parts.
You
it's
don't
a
have to.
14 minute skinning.
That's And that's by choice. You don't have, I don't have to skin anything in that game. I could just shoot deer and rabbits and raccoons and possums and armadillos and snakes and cows and horses.
What did armadillos ever do to you?
Doesn't matter. They're in my way. And, you know, just everything else in that game.
Yeah. What's classier than that? I mean, it's a clean kill in Division 2. You hear, and then that's it.
From every animal.
Yeah.
It all makes the same dog sound.
The cats.
Yeah.
Man, I want to play some Red Dead now.
Well, if you like what you hear, I guess, you can always hit us up on the website and find more information about us at www.the8bitgeek.com. We've got links to all of our shows. We've got a link to our Discord if you want to check that out and hang out with us and hang out with a whole bunch of other cool people who want to say cool things to you and give you a cool intro and, you know, be real cool. You can find new friends, find love, find happiness. Discord. And then, of course, we've got our Patreon. We'd like for you to be a Patreon of our Patreon. Patron of our Patreon. Our Patreon.
That's the correct way.
So that way you can get a whole bunch of content that's, you know, not accessible to anyone else. Like our daily show. We do an awesome daily show here at the 8-Bit Geek, and it's called The Diner. We talk about a whole bunch of cool things. We get personal, and, you know, it's not as nerdy. I mean, except for on Thursdays when we talk about what we've been watching and stuff. But you actually get to know us as people and what we think and what we feel. So it's really cool. $5 a month will get you all that and more. And all that money goes towards some really good stuff, like buying equipment, setting us around the world, and buying advertisement space and time. And
buying time?
Is this how, wait, traveling all over the world, is this how you're paying for your New York trip?
I was going to say, I was like, what?
There's research I need to do. For the 8-Bit Geek. So, no, I'm projecting future, like, income. Is like, we're filming in Dubai this month. And we go do an episode because we have to interview a whole bunch of stars out there and stuff.
This is our Bollywood special
of
the 8-Bit Geek.
Yeah. And just a disclaimer, I'm not using funds to go to New York. I just want to make that clear in case that wasn't clear already.
For our investors.
So you can do that over on the website. There's links for all that and more. Now let's get into the show. Every week we like to, you know, talk about some reviews maybe that we've seen on the internet that we find funny. And it's a segment we like to call Ridiculous Reviews, brought to you by Amazon, not a sponsor. And first up, we actually have a review, and it's kind of a review, but it wasn't posted on Amazon, and it was definitely sent in by a member of the community. This one comes to you from Rachy.
Oh, awesome!
On Discord, she sent me this for Doug to read. She said, "Please have Doug read this. It would be great if Doug read this. Can you please have Doug read this?" And I said, perfect. Can't wait for Doug to read this.
Okay. No pressure. this one comes from CVS. It looks like maybe their Facebook page. And it's for CVS Health, their magnesium citrate, which is a saline laxative,
oh boy,
oral solution, non-pasteurized, dye-free.
Or live hard.
Live free or die hard. Okay. This is from Raymond. It says, what happens when you drink 10 ounces of magnesium citrate? I'm glad you asked. 12:05 p.m. It's time. You shotgun a 10-ounce bottle like it's a lukewarm PBR. It's supposed to be grape flavored, but it's becoming quite clear that whoever led the R&D team that day has never actually tasted anything grape in their life. You are already regretting this decision. 12:06. You eat a handful of chips. It's going to turn to liquid form before it even clears your throat. But you don't care. All is right in the world at this moment. Hold on to that. You're about to enter a very dark period of your life.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
12:37. First sign of life. The pressure is growing. You already have 5 pounds of impacted crap in your colon, and you basically just drank the safe-for-humans version of Drano. You feel a poop coming on finally. You think it's time. You're wrong. You get a little snake turd as a teaser. So, don't know why it made me laugh so hard. You get a little snake turd as a teaser. Take note. This is the last semi-solid thing you will see leaving your body for the next 24 hours.
Oh, boy.
12:57 p.m. That little science experiment you got cooking is about to reach its boiling point. Your stomach is angry now. It hates you. You can feel it. You have exactly 0.3 seconds to make it to the nearest toilet, but you can't run. Never run. You pray to God there's enough elasticity in your butthole to keep the gates closed 5 more steps as you start to preemptively undo your pants to save valuable time. Almost there.
Been there.
3, 2, 1. 12:58. Sweet Mary, Mother of God, is this real life? Your cheeks barely hit the seat and all hell breaks loose. The crap water mixture you've just created comes out with such force that it actually sprays the back of the toilet bowl at a 45-degree angle, thus deflecting it in every direction but down.
Been there.
Is that blood? False alarm. That's just the remnants of the cherry pie you ate at Thanksgiving. When you were 5. The smell is horrid. The sound is frightening. You try to clench what's left of your butthole to soften the blow, but it's not working. The whole house just heard your liquid fart as it gurgled out of your butt. And there's more. 1:06 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Everything's a blur. You've crapped out everything you have ever eaten since the day you were born. Everything your ancestors have ever eaten since the early 1800s, and your butt now feels like you have a flaming hot Cheeto and the tears of 1,000 jalapeno seeds stuck in it.
Been there.
You're now curled up in the bathtub crying because you have to remain within arm's reach of the toilet at all times. You have the poop sweats. You meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm. There's more.
I know. 8:37 p.m. You're broken. Your butthole is broken. Your spirit's broken. Life as you know it will never be the same. But tomorrow's a new day. You're going to wake up, throw on the only remaining pair of underwear you have, and you're going to run up to Walmart with the last shred of dignity you have left and buy yourself a new toilet brush. You've earned it.
Wow.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was real good.
It was a long one.
How you feel about that?
Grossed out.
All right. Mine is a knuckle blaster stun gun.
That name. They could have chose something so much better.
It's 950,000 volts of electricity, priced for $48.50. It's in stock, only one left. Order soon. This is from not actually Steve. Is that a user on our Patreon? Not actually Steve.
They have a throwaway account.
Women, not Chad.
Yeah.
We've got a 4-star review. I purchased this after I was confronted with some punks demanding that I hand over my money. I am relatively a fit guy, but no match for them. That's when I realized that I need to protect myself. The day I bought this product, I went for the very same Walmart parking lot that I was first mugged. I approached the group of hooligans standing outside the entrance, concealing my secret weapon. I coolly asked, "Remember me?" One of them looked up and said, "Have you come back to buy some Samoas or Thin Mints? My Girl Scout troop needs to raise more money."
Oh, no.
I replied with, "You're not taking my money this time." "But, sir, they're delicious," she said. I whipped out my knuckle blaster stun gun and hand and shouted, "Wrong move, bitch." The five Girl Scouts ran away screaming. As I pounded my chest in victory, I accidentally activated the stun gun and applied 950,000 volts to my right nipple. Mm-hmm. I woke up 4 hours later to the sound of heavy footsteps. The Girl Scouts had brought their fathers. But I was ready. I lunged at the largest one with a cry of, "Raggle Fraggle!" and hit him in the stomach. He hit the ground harder than a fat kid on a jungle gym.
Oh,
relatable. As the others began to circle me, I changed techniques. Holding both of my hands in tight fists, I raised my arms to the sides and initiated the helicopter spin. They all backed off, fearing my impressive RPMs. Mm-mm. After a while, I started to get dizzy, and one of the fathers decided to try to tackle me. As he ran to me, stood there, dizzy and queasy, time was going real slow. Then I remembered I had eaten lunch at Chipotle, and the burrito was fighting its way back up to my stomach.
Oh, no.
I turned towards my enemy and launched a stream of projectile vomit at him, knocking him to the floor. Then I started singing, "Let the bodies hit the floor! Let the bodies hit the floor! Let the bodies hit the floor!"
Wow.
I grabbed my knuckle blaster stun gun and shoved it into my mouth, running headfirst at my foes, electrocuting them with my teeth. Eventually, they were all unconscious, and I walked home victorious.
That's the
knuckle blaster stun gun.
That was a fucking adventure.
They could have chosen such a better name for that.
Kev, you're up.
Well, I get to review. It looks like I'm getting two reviews for a Rolex watch on Amazon, because that's where you buy your Rolex watches, is Amazon. Reviewed in the United States on August 25th, 2019, by the way. It's only like 77,000. Now, ever since I sold my house to buy this, my life has been so good. I love it when the homeless ladies check me out as I walk by in my cardboard box. Best decision of my entire life. 10 out of 10 would do it in a heartbeat, baby. And then the second review. Only for peasants. When I told my butler, Reginald Esquire III, that I needed a timepiece to floss like a boss, this is not what I had in mind.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Rolexes are so out.
Okay. I guess so. Well, that's it. We had a suggestion from His Tiny Lighthouse to rename this section, this bit, this area, from Ridiculous Reviews to Amazon Adventures.
That leads to a whole plethora of ideas for an intro when you get some like jungly like adventure sound escapes music.
And if it says audio jungle, it's kind of accepted.
I like it. I think we nailed it. I think we have the new name. All right. So let's talk about some top back selfies. where Sonic has reigned king for the second week in a row, 2 weeks, made $26.3 million for a total of $106 million here in the United States of America.
Definitely a success.
Guess how much it cost to make, even with all the well, I say it in quotations,
mm-hmm.
with the fixed FX.
39 million.
Oh, too low, Kev.
Too low. It was 85 million was the budget.
Well, okay, well, so they, all right, they made their, they made their
most
money
of that was for Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, didn't he do, like, wasn't there a point where he was like a 25 million a movie guy?
He was paid the most. He was at 20 million a movie, I think.
Man.
But this worldwide has grossed 202 million so far. So it's definitely getting a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait. I saw it. I really liked it. You guys will enjoy it too. Let me know what you think when it hits Plex.
Yeah, basically. I'll give it a chance.
The Call of the Wild came in second at 24.8 million. And hold up, you're probably saying to yourself, The Call of the Wild? That movie that looked real weird that had Han Solo in it with a CGI dog that looked like shit? Yep, that's the one based on the best-selling book. You got it. It, I guess it still outpaced what they expected it to do. They only expected it to do 17 million. So, yeah.
Good on them, I guess.
Man, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Some people probably saw the trailer and were like, oh, shit, Han Solo and Chewie are back. I'll go see this. And then they're like, who the fuck is Buck?
And why isn't he?
It's a weird Star Wars story.
Man, why, yeah. Man, Chewie really went down the drain when Peter Mayhew died. The CG shit is for the birds. It sucks.
Oh, my God.
They're getting too liberal with the story. There wasn't even one mention of a star.
Or space.
Or space.
But you know what?
Fuck.
Points for having it on Hoth. That was cool.
Yeah, I like this new planet they were on. It was pretty dope. A lot of people there, though. Not enough aliens, man. If they'd had a couple more of the OG aliens, this would have been a great movie. These new directors, they just don't know anything about the original trilogy.
They didn't do any research.
Yeah,
who
man.
Who did this? Ryan Johnson?
Whoa. Who did it? That's actually a very good question.
Oh shit, Ryan Johnson. No.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Chris Sanders did this movie.
Who the fuck is Chris Sanders?
Who the fuck is
Chris? Oh yeah, he got KFC like later on in life.
He was the writer for
Sanders family.
He's a writer for a lot of stuff. Yeah. Mulan, How to Train Your Dragon, Lilo and Stitch. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there you right. go. We're shitting on this guy, but
he's done some good shit
than we'll ever see.
Also, he's credited for Lilo and Stitch with an unannounced date. Are they live actioning this shit?
Oh shit. He did the 2002.
No. It's in pre-production, my dude.
Oh.
The one I'm talking about.
He also directed How to Train Your Dragon.
He directed?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fuck. Oh, that's a good movie too.
Legit.
That's one of the best.
But then he did,
trilogies.
But then he did the Croods, so.
No, sometimes you take a swing. So. Was there, Chummy says, was there even a war? You fucks with the war?
You fucks with the war?
All right, let's get into some news. ISPs are citing First Amendment as a reason why they can sell customer data. Why is this important? It's not movies. It's not video games, but it's fucking important. And all you nerdy motherfuckers need to know this shit. So we bring it to your attention. That's right. ISPs are fighting, and of course you need ISPs to play games and to watch movies. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're fighting for attempts to require customers to opt in. They're fighting attempts where you would have to. They don't want you to have to be able to opt in. They want your location and other sensitive data sold to third parties under claim that it's a free speech right of the company. Because
which is just absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, if this passes, which it probably will, based on the fact that like old white men, right? And yep. That is just another example of companies having more rights than people.
Yep.
The fact that their First Amendment free speech rights are more valuable than the person's, because Yo, bitch, my First Amendment right free speech is that you don't tell motherfuckers anywhere where I am, no matter what I say or do or use or whatever. Mm-hmm. So go fuck yourself. And they'll be like, you have to use our service. Okay, I won't. That's my free speech. Go fuck yourself, San Diego. Not the city, but just in general.
Maine is trying to pass a law requiring the ISPs to inform users of what data is being collected and what they're selling. And it mandates that customers must opt in to allow this to happen. It also stops ISPs from penalizing customers who do not opt in, such as by charging extra fees on top of their existing bill to offset the loss of revenue from the sale of data. And this practice AT&T is known to have, has been performing for a number of years under the guise of allowing them to discount your bill.
So. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Oh, I mean, well, stop treating corporations as humans. They're not. They don't get the same rights as humans do. And fuck that equality bullshit. Corporations do not deserve that shit. And it's like, okay, they're selling your data, yet you're still paying the same bill. Fuck that. No. You should, I mean, if your shit is getting sold, you should have some kind of.
Yeah, I should get more than just a discount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, listen, if you're going to sell my shit and you're going to make thousands of dollars off of information, hit a homie up, bruh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see some of that.
Let me see some of that.
Let me get at least one free line a year.
Yeah.
No fuck shit. That, man. Free phones.
Yeah. I mean, that with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to track me with it anyway, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I would. Yeah. Let me get a new phone every year or whatever, and I'll pay for the phone, but I'm not going to pay for the service. So you can do your little, like, you know, lease phone bullshit that you do now. But I'm not going to pay the additional $70 a month for the unlimited service. You're just going to give that to me. Because you're still going to make money. That's the ridiculous thing.
They're making way more than $70 a month per person.
Oh, absolutely. So,
Alamo Draft House is back in the news because they have launched their season pass to everyone, guys. To everyone across the nation.
Except you. Specifically. Except
Jer. They've got a picture of Jer's face.
This has pissed me off to no fucking limit. I have literally been asking them, are you guys bringing it to DFW? Come on, I really need it. I really want it. And then I talked to the girl who works behind the counter and was like, yeah, we've been reading up on this stuff all the day. They're launching it later this month. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, cool. And then they announce it. And then they go, except DFW. Son of a bitch.
I wonder what's the holdback on just DFW.
It's
there's got to be some kind of.
Like, I would guess that they're trying to figure out how much to charge for DFW because there is a scale, right? So, like, smaller towns that have Alamos are being charged $14.99 a month for the service, as to where LA and New York are being charged $29.99 a month for the service. So I would say, and then like in between that is going to be $19.99. So I'm guessing that they're probably trying to figure out if DFW is going to be $14.99 or $19.99, because Lord knows it's not going to be $30. So people will run from that. The really shitty thing about this, and which I may have mentioned, but you still have to pay their online convenience fee and taxes. Mm-hmm. And no other chain makes you do this. And it's a really shitty thing. Like, Alamo is all about movies and preserving the movies. But this is like one of those corporate decisions where you're just like, are you fucking with me right now? Y'all are charging me the $3 fake fee that you guys just, it's just, there's no service fee. It's all done by servers. You're, get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, if they called it a server fee instead of a service fee, I think I'd feel better about it.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the bullshit.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, because no one anywhere is doing anything for me. This is all being run by computers. Mm-hmm. So
where's the service?
Yeah.
The fun part is if you decide you can't make it to a show and you refund your ticket, you don't get the convenience fee back. They keep it.
That's inconvenient.
It's very inconvenient.
Yeah. And not great service.
No, it's not.
Man.
Yeah.
As much as we like Alamo, like I'll stick with my AMC. You know what I mean? Like that's a.
No, I have looked into, if there was an AMC near me, I would 100% go AMC with the $19.99 month. Since there isn't anywhere around me, and like Cinemark, no, I'm not. They have a really shitty program, and their theater is really shitty near me anyways. And so I was like, nah.
I like that AMC on Clear Fork. It's real nice.
It's just too far for me to make the drive every week to go see a movie there. So I think that we will do the Alamo thing, and I'll just have to grit my teeth and bear it and just be like, all right, it's still cheaper. I just have to remind myself, even with the service fee, it's still cheaper than getting tickets every week like we always do. So,
and it's a much better venue for the theater, as you found out last week when you went to see...
I went to go see a movie.
Talk about it on the diner.
Yeah, I'll talk about it on the diner on Thursday. So, all right, guys. Well, we found out what Kevin does for a living. Movie Phone is bankrupt, and it's now being run by one employee.
It's my side hustle.
Do you guys remember Movie Phone? It was Doug may
Movie
not.
Movie Phone.
I called it all the time, and like
I don't think I ever called it.
We used it all the time. So Movie Phone was a part of this call-in service where either A, you can get sports scores, or you can get movie box office news, or you can get show times, and then you can also, get headlines and stuff. It was this whole network of things, but Movie Phone always stood out as kind of like the reason why people called. You can also go into chat rooms
when you call
the number. Oh yeah, mine was a whole thing. And maybe it was separate. Maybe it wasn't Movie Phone, but mine had everything.
Party line.
Yeah, all that shit.
$9.99 a minute.
But anyways, they've gone bankrupt because no one really needs that service anymore.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, the only reason I used it in the 90s is because we didn't have the internet to look up the show times. Like, you had to either find a newspaper, or you had to call in Movie Phone. If you called the theater, like, itself, you might be able to get show times.
It was still hanging on to the last generation. Like, Movie Phone was like, oh my God, Betty, please keep calling in. I know that you're 90, but we still need you. Come on, girl. Do it for us. This thing sold for $400 million to AOL in 99.
Yeah, and that's right before, like, it crashed. Because, like, after that point, you had, Fandango or whatever? Like, that was, like, the next big movie ticket service. And I think that buried Movie Phone because you got all your stuff from there. It was like a one-stop shop. So, I mean, and AOL just falling apart after the internet became the internet.
It's so funny to see all these titans who buy up all these companies thinking that they're going to be a win, and then they fail. And then you just see like AOL being a shell of its former self because they couldn't adapt and they couldn't reinvent themselves.
Did you guys ever have AOL?
Yep.
I had the free edition because I used to get those CDs all the time.
Yeah, it was like the internet light because especially early on, you weren't able to access the actual internet from AOL. You were only able to access like whatever news sites they wanted you to go to and then their chat rooms. So it was really weird. And then like after you found the real internet with like, then you had like Yahoo chat and you had all this other stuff, like AOL wasn't needed anymore. AOL
Holy shit.
Ended up becoming like a platform that just, I mean, it just didn't grow.
I just got hit by something, and it's an idea, and it's a thought. What if AOL is behind this whole FCC bullshit of net neutrality? What if all of it goes into effect, AOL rises from the ashes, and then they're dictating what you can go to again? Without, and then in order to get out into the internet, you got to pay fees. You got to pay AOL.
Keyword. AOL screw job.
You've got mail.
Oh man.
Oh man, that really makes America Online seem way more like sinister.
Yeah, man.
Which it even says it changes from AOL to America Online. it's just like a shot of lightning in the background.
God.
The rise of America Online.
Welcome to America Online.
You've got mail.
Would you like to use Outlook? That'll be $49.99 a month.
Oof. or use AOL Mail for free.
Yeah.
We'll read your email with you.
And then but here's the thing, at the very bottom it says powered by Google.
Right.
Hey, but you know, on the bright side of things, we might get AIM back. That was cool.
Yeah, Discord goes away because we have to go back to AIM.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we're back in AIM. Individual messages.
Yeah, you can't do group because it's all based on 1999 technology. They didn't get it ready fast enough.
What was the IM bombs are back in popular like popularity where you can IM bomb somebody or just like DDoSes them?
Oh my gosh. I don't remember those.
Yeah, dude, if you were in the wrong chat room, man, people would get pissed and like IM bomb you. It would just set up a script to where it would send you so many messages so fast that it would just crash your AOL.
Yeah, but that was back in the day when you were running at 56K. That shit wouldn't happen anymore, bud.
I mean, that's true, but also it could happen if you're not giving your data to AT&T because of their First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
So.
It all comes back together.
all right. So the bat suit has been revealed in a video. First, it got revealed in a video from the director of the new Batman film.
Matt Reeves.
And then the set photos came out to show the full bat suit minus the cape. Because obviously when you're riding on a bike, the cape is going to be CGI.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting part. I only post this because, well, we all love Batman. It's probably one of our favorite characters of comic books, at least for Doug and I. I don't know where Kev stands on the subject.
He's up there with Spider-Man. Like, yeah, Spider-Man take him, and take Batman him, leave are my him. Top two.
Yeah, he's like, take him or leave him.
Take him or leave him.
I don't really like those films.
I enjoy Batman. Like I said, him and Batman and Spider-Man are like my top two as far as like superheroes lately.
I kind of wanted to just touch on the suit and what we thought of it. This suit is supposed to be Batman's like in his early days, like year two, year three of him being Batman. So it's more of a tactical suit. I personally really like it, and I love what they've done with the bats, the bat logo on the chest. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, that is two halves of the gun that killed Bruce's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I can see that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a pull from the comics. There's a whole comic arc where Batman takes that gun and he melts it down and makes it into the... Because what does he say? It's the metal that was used to take the heart of Gotham will now protect the heart of the defender of Gotham or something like that. And it was just like... Oh, it's metal as fuck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's cool. I'm looking at this cast list because, you know, I mean, I knew Zoe Kravitz is in it.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Before you get to that, man, what do you think of the suit?
Oh, the suit looks fucking sick. No, I'm excited. Yeah, it looks great. And unfortunately, you know, the set photos, it's on a stunt double.
Right.
Not that that's any indication how it's going to look on him. I mean, it's the suit. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I mentioned in the chat, I was like, it kind of had like a year zero vibe, especially since it didn't have the cape.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that Batman is running around in like a kind of a fucked up bat suit, but he's also riding the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. I also
the front of the motorcycle looks similar. And
I also think we don't really see the legs and the actual, like, I think that those are stunt, probably pants and stunt boots. I don't think that those are the real ones of the suit. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen that yet put together. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
so this cast. Oh, you go ahead, Kev.
I think it looks awesome as well. I mean, just like the grittiness of it, like the fact that it's already looking like scraped and everything. It doesn't look nice at all. It looks just like partially put together. Yeah, and worn in. Yeah, right. So I like it a lot. And like I said, at least the video of it when they showed like Robert Pattinson's, like he's got the jawline for it, and that was the thing. You know, that, I mean, for Batman, especially in suit, that makes a huge difference. And you got to have a great jawline for it. And I think he looks great so far. So I'm looking forward to what they offer next.
Fuck, man. They just DC. If there's one character they nail every single time, it seems it's fucking Batman. Like, they just know what to do with him. So dumb. I'm sorry, Kev.
I'd say with the exception of Val Kilmer, I thought Val Kilmer sucked as Batman, but that's like going way back into the 90s. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back into the 90s,
I think Clooney was worse than Val Kilmer.
I think Clooney was an amazing Bruce Wayne, though. Like, he was a fantastic Bruce. Wow, so, he played a good rich guy, like a charismatic rich guy.
As much as I dislike Joel Schumacher and his movies.
Oh, yeah. It was stupid.
I have a soft spot for Batman Forever. Even though, because...
Holy metal rock, Batman! Or whatever he said.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is the first PG-13 movie I ever saw in theaters. I was like 9 years old. I got to go with my older sister because she was old enough to go. And I guess that means she was old enough to take me. It was like peak Batman time, man. Yeah. I was like watching Batman the Animated Series.
I was into it as well. I was an impressionable young man. I mean, this is also me coming from my Batman being Adam West. So I loved the campy Batman. I still love campy Batman. So I got dark Batman, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I got like cartoony Batman with Batman Forever. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, I didn't mind any of it.
Yeah.
Now, if I went back and watched it, I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Batman and Robin, right? Because Batman and Robin was the campy one.
That was a super. Yeah. Well, I mean, Jim Carrey, you know, Batman Forever with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. Yeah. It's a little cartoony and campy in its own right.
Was it? I don't know. Because it's hard to come out because that was the first. I remember that was the first movie that, like, right after, because they filmed the first two with, what's his name?
Michael Keaton? Oh, Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. So this was the first movie without Tim Burton. So it was like, it seemed like they still tried to go the Tim Burton route, but they couldn't.
No, it was very campy. It was like the one liners and Two-Face was very, it was very goofy. And
Tim Burton's was a little campy too.
Yeah. Oh, it was super campy. I mean, that's the thing. Tim Burton nails campy.
Remember the. Yeah. He can't turn his head, so it's all he has to do a whole body move.
And then that was a commercial. I was thinking about the Batman credit card where he pulled the Batman
American
card.
Express or whatever.
American Express.
That was in a movie, wasn't it?
Was it?
I feel like it
might have been in, like, I think that was actually, you know what? That was Batman and Robin. Yeah, because I remember George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Because that movie was super cheesy. They had a riff tracks of it, and riff tracks is like, why are you punishing us, everyone? Because it was a fan pick, and it was so bad. That was the one where they introduced the bat nipple suits too.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
That was a lot of bad choices.
But at least you got Arnold with the shittiest one liners, like as Mr. Freeze. Everybody chill, the Iceman cometh. Like every one of his lines was fucking awful.
You know what? But they really like respected his backstory with his wife. Like, that was the weird thing. It was like he was so cheesy as Mr. Freeze, but then when he came to his wife, I was like, okay, it's actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but yeah, it's really that movie has not aged well. But you're right. If you like the campy TV show, it's right up your alley. It seems like that's what they were trying to capture, especially sound effects and everything. When they like knock down dudes, it's like bowling balls, like bowling pin sounds.
That's what I want to see. Like, I love, don't get me wrong, I love dark, gritty Batman. Like, that is best Batman. But I want to see a spin-off movie, you know, just another Batman movie in this universe, since none of the fucking DC stuff ties into each other, so it doesn't matter if we hire another Batman. I want to see Batman 66.
Ugh.
Like that style Batman movie.
Yeah.
Who do you think would play a great Batman 66?
Bruce Campbell.
Oh, you might be too old for it, though, man. Like, I'm trying to think of, like...
I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell would be fantastic.
I'm just trying to think, who has, like, Adam West energy? And that is such, like, it was Bruce Campbell. Get him fit. Give him that money. He could be old man Batman. Like, that's the thing. You do Batman 66, but you do it with old man Batman.
You do it with a 66-year-old. Batman 66.
I would love to see that, like, that 60s like vibe,
and oh,
you know, it'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be funny.
Yeah,
especially if you promote it that way. Like, this is the bat, because they've started doing Batman 66 comics, and it's over the top, it's silly, it's colorful, it's
fuck it, make it for Batman. The DC streaming service
before Adam West passed away, they actually did
an animated
movie as well. So that was really
fun. And Burt Ward.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a one-off or a TV show featuring the blue suit, like 90s Batman, you know, like from the comics, and where it's kind of a mix of the two, where it's mm-hmm. cheesy and campy versus and also a little bit of darkness. But yeah, give us on the DC streaming stuff. Give us a Batman show. Mm-hmm. Give us multiple.
I think that'd be fantastic. Yeah. I'd be on board with that. I'm trying to think of who would be a good cheesy, like the actor who played the Tick in the new Tick remake. Like, I think he would probably be a good Batman.
Peter, kind of cheesy.
Yeah. But you're still like in good shape, but you're cheesy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually he would be pretty good. Cause he was great as the Tick.
Yeah.
He was so fucking good as the Tick. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as I was saying earlier, the cast list for this movie is insane. Like, I knew Zoe Kravitz was in it as Selina Kyle. But okay, so Paul Dano, who's been in a ton of things like There Will Be Blood and Swiss Army Man and 12 Years a Slave, and apparently Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of... No, that's Zoe Kravitz, sorry. I went up ahead. But he's going to play someone named Edward Nashton. I'm sorry, Batman Universe, if your name is Edward,
mm-hmm.
you are automatically the Riddler, which Paul Dano as the Riddler is top choice.
That'd be cool.
Because this is supposed to be Edward Nygma. Anyways.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Edward Nygma. That's why I was putting it together. And I was checking. Yeah.
Hey, I want to throw someone's name in the ring for Batman 66.
Do it.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah. God. Paul Rudd would be good.
Or even a good Robin, yeah. But he won't be able to do it because of all the Marvel stuff, too, though.
Yeah, unfortunately. Until his contract with them runs out in 2057. But it's okay. He'll still look the same age.
Yeah, he will. No shit, dude.
Also, one of the things that's surprising about this is Andy Serkis is playing Alfred in this movie. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Andy Serkis is Alfred.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got a great cast. So
great cast.
The reason why we're not getting Ben Affleck as Batman anymore is because of the fact that, you know, he was afraid of him relapsing with his alcoholism. Hmm. He sat down and there was a conversation, and he was like, he showed a friend the script. He said, I drank relatively normally for a long time. And what happens when I started drinking more and more, my marriage was falling apart. Then he said that in an interview, speaking candidly for the first time, that drinking, of course, caused marital problems, and it was the worst thing that he's ever done was leave his wife. While in that, he was writing the new script and everything, and he showed it to a buddy of his, and they said, I think the script is really good. I also think you'll drink yourself to death if you go through with it. And because he was going through all that when he was making the other DC movies. And so he decided that it was time to walk away from Batman. So
it's such a shame to me in that I loved him as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He had that Batman look that I like. I like the big Batman. I like the bulky Batman.
Me too.
From like Batman or Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, mm-hmm. the Frank Miller comic. I like that Batman, and that's the Batman style he had. And I mean, even his suit with the giant fucking bat on it, mm-hmm. like the fat bat, I love it. And it's he was the best part of that DCEU run. I mean, Batman was the best. He's better than Henry Cavill's Superman, even though I liked Henry Cavill's Superman. And I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, but Batman. When Batman showed up in fucking Suicide Squad, I was like, fuck yes, Batman. Mm-hmm.
And when Batman had his solo scene in the warehouse, like, everyone just went mind blown, because it was just like,
dead,
holy
dead,
shit.
Dead, dead, dead. Yeah. You're not walking ever again. And then, you guys just blew up in a car. You're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he was brutal and he was efficient. And even though he was getting his butt kicked at times, like, I don't know, it was a sick fucking fight. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was more raw than other Batman fights.
So I'm saying, it was brutal, man. It was just, it was good.
Yeah.
Such a shame. And we'll Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
As
Alfred.
Alfred was really good too, man.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got some new Star Wars news. It looks like the 456th Star Wars movie is being made. This time from Slight director and Luke Cage writer. Who is this? The director J.D. Dillard and Matt Owens are developing a new Star Wars movie. We don't know much other than that's going to happen. So now we've got those two. We got Kevin Feige wanting to make one. We've got, who else we got making one? We still got the Game of Thrones guys. Are those guys out? No, those guys are out. That's right.
Because they came out as like frauds. Remember?
Yeah, they're fucking out. Okay, and then who else we got? Who else was working on one? I'm trying to put my finger on how many movies are in development.
Well, Ryan Johnson's thing is still apparently in the mix. At some level, trilogy. No one really knows what. Yeah. And as far as movies are concerned, I mean, that's really it. We know Kevin Feige's doing stuff, but
no, we've also got oh my God, what's his name? Our favorite guy who worked
Dave Filoni. Those are just like in, you know what I mean? Like, I guess like this, nothing. We don't know yet. And they're, dude, Dave Filoni right now is fucking busy.
Well, he just finished the Clone Wars, so he's got some free time.
Clone Wars, but he's also doing season two of Mandalorian, and then they're already working on whatever's next, their next animated series. And there's rumors that it's going to be Ahsoka, it's going to follow Ahsoka.
That'd be cool.
And her journey after the Return of the Jedi when she and Sabine go look for Ezra.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Borderlands is getting a movie, and it's going to be directed by Eli Roth.
Nice. Holy fuck.
That's gonna be a doozy.
It'll be gratuitously violent.
To this I say, meh.
Oh.
I don't know if Borderlands will transition into a good movie.
It's, you'd have to make it like a weird campy Mad Max.
It would have to be like very Mad Maxy, right?
Yeah.
And we already got that movie.
Yeah, we've got another one coming too, finally. So,
I don't know.
I would like to see more in development. I think once we start seeing like maybe set photos or at least character designs, it might be a little bit more believable. But for now, yeah, you're right. I'm with Doug on this. I don't think it's needed, but I'd like to see what they can do with it.
I don't know. I think it could be fun. I think it could be pretty good.
Oh yeah, I hope so. I mean, especially if they get any of the same writers from the video game.
So. Let's see. The Uncharted movie is finally headed to production in March, guys.
This is what's crazy is that they don't have a director still. So
fuck it. I'll go direct it.
Let's shit, at this point, they'd probably fucking let you. Mm-hmm. But please, oh God, thank you. Come direct this movie.
Holland is very excited about it. He said, we start shooting in like 4 weeks, and Mark Wahlberg is still on board as Sully.
Yeah, cool.
So
this movie's supposed to release next year in March.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right, let's get into some gaming news before we get out of here and actually game ourselves. Revenue was up, guys. On The Witcher 3, after, of course, the launch of the Witcher series on Netflix, I think it was up something crazy, like fucking 5,000% or some shit.
It was like 554%.
554%, resulting in more than $50 million in revenue since 2008. Or, sorry, $50 million in sales on Steam alone. And guess what? Because of that, since they passed the 50 million mark, Steam has said, hey, we're now going to give you 80% of your sales. You have to sell $50 million on Steam.
Achievement unlock.
Oh God.
And
it's
that's why
good.
Everyone goes to good old games and, Epic.
Jesus. God, that's such a, like, and this is a AAA title, and it took 3 years to get to 50 million in sales. No one can do this. Like, if you're not a AAA studio, it's nuts.
Seriously.
Steam, go fuck yourselves, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're gonna find out. I mean, like we were talking earlier, they're gonna be a behemoth like AOL and fucking not get with the times, and then they're gonna get left behind.
I don't think that's the case. I think your install base is too high. I think that it's just like any other retailer where you negotiate your how much profit you're going to get off of it and all of that. I think that they'll stick around. I think that they will get less exclusives. I think that will happen. I think Epic will pull, of course, more exclusives. But I still think Steam sticks around for, you know, as being the main company where all these games are sold. I mean, hey, there's always a chance that they go AOL, right? But I think that they're too big to fail. That's my opinion. And everyone knows that that's always wrong, so. PlayStation is pulled out of PAX East because of the coronavirus concerns, as well as a lot of other companies are pulling out of a lot of game shows. Like is it called the CDC? Is that the other game show? Or game show? The GameCon?
CDC? Yeah, the Center for Disease Control?
Is it? Yeah, I think it's CDC. CDC Game Convention.
GDC?
GDC, that's what it is.
Okay.
GDC. Yeah, a lot of people are pulling out of that as well. And that's a really big one. So it's very interesting that Sony has decided to pull out. And, you know, everyone else is still there, which it's kind of strange, I guess. Yeah.
Bummer for the Naughty Dog people, too, because they were looking forward to showing off more Last of Us 2 stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Final Fantasy VII remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they've got stuff to come out. I mean, so it's not I don't think it's a case of like they didn't have enough to show off, because they've got the show, they've got Neo 2, they got Persona 5 Royal, mm-hmm. you got that new Predator game, like Hunting Grounds. Like, there's a lot to come out. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I guess they're just playing it safe, I guess. They need to get this coronavirus under control.
Over 1 million people have signed up for the GeForce Now, which is their version of the shitty Google Stadia, where all of your games are imported and playable, except for the companies who are pulling out of it, which are Activision, Blizzard, and Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda, of all people.
There's 1,500 games coming to the service, and you can go on right now and try it out. You know, there's a beta of 300,000 testers, and it's now opening the doors for more players this month. There's two tiers. There's a free option, which allows for 1 hour gaming sessions, and then there is a founders tier for $4.99 a month, and you can play all you want. I would say that if you're playing on your phone, you're not needing more than an hour at a time, so I don't see why anyone would need the $4.99 service unless
like
you're
an hour per 24 hours or like an
I'm
hour
not
per
sure.
day.
I'm not sure. So, but Activision and Blizzard were like, nah, I'm off. We got our own store. We don't want you to play. But then Nvidia was like, oh no, that's just a misunderstanding. And then Bethesda was like, nah, we off too. We got our own store. We don't want you involved with that. We don't want to stream our games to this shit.
We won't let you play Skyrim.
Yeah, you can't play Skyrim on your phone.
Yeah, if you want to play Skyrim on your phone, go buy Skyrim on your phone. Now available on the iOS.
Yeah, that's what they're waiting to announce.
You don't have cell phones?
God, seriously.
And last but not least, EA has announced that they had a third Star Wars title in the works, and it was canceled a year ago. It was a spinoff from Battlefront, and nobody asked for that, and I'm so glad that it got canceled.
Doug, and Doug loves Battlefront.
Well, the thing is, like, who cares about a spinoff? But I think the plus size is, it seems like, I don't know, they've been dedicating more to Battlefront to keep it, like, relevant and going and people playing. So, I don't know if they listened to the people, the players that were like, hey, we like this game, just make things better. And they've been doing that instead of devoting. Yeah, because...
What the fuck
realistically,
do
we even need Battlefront 2? Battlefront 1, if they had just fixed it, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just one of those things where it's like, this is where your creativity lies. Like, EA, we get it. You don't build games because you're passionate about an idea that you have. You build games based on the data that you have that you think that gamers want. This has been established.
Well, people keep buying FIFA, so
we're gonna
people want yearly sports games.
And so, I mean, this is a lot of AAA. Like, what's one of the fun things about watching that new show called
Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet?
Is they kind of address that kind of thing where it's just like, you know, there's so many people who want to be creative, but all these companies are just use data to fucking decide what kind of game to make. Because that's the most profitable thing to do. And it's the safe bet instead of like taking a chance. So real fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Real crazy. Anyways, that's the show. That's the show this week. I hope everybody really enjoyed it. We talked a lot about the bat. We talked a lot about the bit. And the boop boop. So now we're going to go play the Division 2.
That's all, folks.
Dip. If you have a question, please save it for the after show. We'll do an answer Q&A real quick. And until next week, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.